Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newkman. Right now, our guest is Joe Dublowski, who's written a book called Cartwheels in the Rain, Finding Faith in the Wake of the Unthinkable. Now, with the recent shooting last week in a community college in Oregon, where innocent people were killed, many of them being targeted specifically because they were Christians, or at least that's what some of the reports have said, Joe Dublowski is going to join us right now to talk with us about the tragedy, such a tragedy, because he himself lost a daughter some years ago at Northern Illinois University in another one of these senseless shootings. Joe, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
So first, let's have you comment about your own situation, and then we'll have you comment about what happened in Oregon.
Yeah, my own situation, I can relate to what the people in Oregon are going through and having experienced just a world just instantly turned upside down as we discovered that our daughter had been one of the victims who had died in the shooting at Northern Illinois University back in 2008 on Valentine's Day. And, of course, that makes it a holiday like that makes it all the more memorable. And at the same time, it was painful, and, you know, that pain is revisited every year when we have Valentine's Day and just brings up those memories. But nothing like when I hear about a shooting and what took place in Roseburg this past Thursday.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't even remember that particular shooting, the one that you're mentioning in that would be DeKalb, Illinois?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And five people were killed. Did she know who the shooter was, or did the shooter know her, or was this kind of random victims?
As far as I know, it was all random. We've never found any connection. He had already graduated from Northern Illinois and had moved on, been accepted at University of Illinois Champaign. And so when my daughter chose to be in that that class, he was already gone from the university. So,
oh man, what does the title mean, Cartwheels in the Rain?
Our daughter being kind of a unique, one of a kind person who, when there was a thunderstorm out or it was raining, rather than staying in and cowering under an umbrella, she loved to just go out and run around in the rain, and she would even turn cartwheels in the rain. And that title captures her spirit, and finding faith in the wake of the unthinkable captures the idea of why I wrote the book, wanting to share with people what it's like when you find out that it's not just someone's child that's died in such a senseless way, but that it's your own.
Wow.
That was like for me as a father.
Sure. Why don't you comment on that subtitle? How did you find faith in the wake of that tragedy?
Well, I believe that we were sustained because we had faith already. And it was more a matter of us keeping that faith and waiting on God to show us what it meant for our lives. And for me, that meant helping my wife and son through it. Another part of it was writing the book, and still another part of it is now helping other people who have suffered loss of many different kinds.
Sure. And I tell you, knowing Jesus Christ personally makes all the difference in the world, because it means then that we can see our loved ones who die in Christ later. And that is such a comforting thought. All right, now, let me go ahead and read this press release that went out to, you know, basically publicize that you were available to comment on this. Chris Harper Mercer, 26 years old, opened fire on unarmed students at the community college in Roseburg, Oregon, slaughtering at least nine and injuring scores of others. While Oregon recently passed stringent gun laws, Mercer apparently had no criminal record, so the laws would not have prevented the mass murder of students. He deliberately targeted those who identified themselves as Christian, a fact few have talked about in the past 24 hours, including President Obama. And, you know, honestly, if this had been, if the shooter had targeted Muslims, which would have been terrible, it'd be terrible for this shooter to shoot anybody. But to target anybody yep. is terrible. But if he had targeted Muslims, I can't help but think the president would say, well, we've got a hate crime problem in this country, and, you know, we've got to stop, you know, all this kind of stuff. But now it seems like it's open season on Christians. But comment on that. The shooter apparently targeting Christians.
Yeah. You know, it's inscrutable to me that he would do that. I don't know if we'll ever know why, but, you know, I look at it, as an invitation to speak out on this just because of, my faith and, what it's done for me, what it's meant for me, and wanting to have that faith, better known for people all over the world. And so I just look at that as bringing up the topic and wanting to share what Jesus has done for us.
Hmm. What would you say as you were trying to cope with the pain of losing your daughter? And by the way, do you have more children as well? I think you mentioned a brother.
Yes, she had a brother who is now 24 years old, and he's a man of faith himself. He's given us a granddaughter who's five, and
wow.
we just love having them around and being with us. And you know, he has his own he's had his own battles with you know, making sense of what happened to his sister, his older sister. But through it all, he's stayed faithful and is growing in his relationship with God. And so we're proud of him in that way.
Yeah. Was there moments of doubt for you at all? Or were there moments of doubt in terms of, you know, God, why have you allowed this to happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much a universal reaction. You know, we want life to make sense to us, and we want what God is doing around us to make sense to us. And when that plan, what we think the script is going to be, changes suddenly and takes a direction like that, how can we but ask why, God, and try to find an explanation for it? But what I think over the years, what's happened is that why has, I've learned to ask the why, but not stay there and instead be looking for the what. Hmm. What do you want me to do now that this has happened? You know, what is your plan for me and how has it changed? And how am I supposed to go on living and continuing to believe in you?
You know, I'm 59 years old, and I remember growing up that these kinds of things were extremely rare. I mean, there was a guy who went on the top of a Howard Johnson's or something, was a sniper and shooting randomly at different victims below. And that was about it. I mean, it was like you could think of very few times. And now it seems commonplace, and everybody wants to say, well, the liberals are saying it's gun control, that's what we need. But it seems as if this is a mental illness problem. Maybe it's because so many people were let out in the streets or something, that's why this is happening. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make any sense to me either, and I'm not I haven't done any research to know whether it's increased in frequency or whether we're just hearing it reported more often. It might be both. A gentleman named Gary Laverne wrote a book about that I heard about the other day. There are plenty of people in this country, in this world, who have mental illness, who don't go out, purchase guns,
right,
and go shooting people. And so just to simply say, well, it's a mental illness problem, that's a big generalization.
Right.
That could, demonize a lot of people. Same thing with gun ownership.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of Americans who own guns are, keep them locked up safely and,
mm-hmm.
Exercise safety controls and everything of their own, and they don't go out and shoot people. And
that's
so
true. And in the places, the places where they have very strict gun control laws, and have had that for a while, New York City, Washington, D.C., Chicago, these places are notorious as far as gun violence is concerned. That goes on, despite those laws. Or because of those laws, in the sense that decent people are not armed, therefore being able to prevent this kind of thing. This guy was stopped before he could have killed other people, providentially, and we thank God for that. But it just does show you that, the gun control that the liberals are always calling for doesn't work. It's, in fact, the opposite is true, I think.
Yeah, there is some research establishing that. And, for me, I'm for some more common sense legislation.
I agree.
Tightening up some things that do enable people to purchase firearms.
But you've got to have those common sense regulations that you're talking about. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Criminal background checks, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't look at gun control as being the only thing we should look at. And but I certainly am supportive of the efforts that are being made and the people who make them, and I've become friends with a number of them, and I highly respect and want to be supportive of what they're doing.
Since the tragedy befell your own family, have you since, let's say, met any victims of other shootings, after Laurel's death?
Yes, I've met several, gotten to know a number of people who were in the classroom where the shooting took place at NIU, and become close to a number of them, as well as parents of the victims, and other schools as well. I got to know Sam Granillo, who was one of the survivors of the Columbine shooting.
Wow.
Through an interview that I did with him for NBC Dateline about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Through him, become acquainted with a number of other Columbine connected people, as well as people in other places such as Virginia Tech.
Wow. Just recently I was re-interviewing William J. Murray, whose mother was Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she sued as an atheist, she sued to get prayer out of the schools. And, Bill Murray, as a 14-year-old, was at the center of that lawsuit. He said, now that he's a born-again Christian, he says, go back to those schools of Baltimore. They're so violent today. But I guarantee you, when I was there and there was prayer in the schools, you didn't see this kind of violence. Now, it's not as simple as all that, but bottom line is, where there's no fear of God, then there's no fear of, of people engaging in this kind of violence. And as John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. How about a final comment, Joe, on this whole issue and problem?
Yeah. Well, Jerry, it's just a very sad day right now. It's a very sad time for a lot of people. And my heart goes out to the people of
Amen.
The community college out there in Oregon. And I hope that those who are listening to this program, whose hearts are moved to write to them, send them condolences, and things, those who have suffered loss of loved ones, who have been helped in any way, they can share with them some of the things that have been helpful for them in recovery.
Yeah.
But something all of us can do is pray for those people, pray for the community,
and pray for
all the families involved.
Joe Dombowski, thank you so much for joining us. And the name of the book is Cartwheels in the Rain, Finding Faith in the Wake of the Unthinkable. Is there a website with that book or with you?
Probably the easiest way to get it is through Amazon.com. It's listed there. It's also available on Kindle.
Cartwheels in the Rain. Thank you, Joe. God bless.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.